Hello and welcome to our NEPT open support call. This is July. Is this the last one for July? Maybe next week. I don't know. I can't keep track anymore. We have so many calls. Thank you for being here. Excuse my wet head. I had a short break and I went out for a run and then jumped in the pool. And so you're seeing me at my finest here after exercise, which is my favorite way to be actually, other than during exercise. So, these are open support calls. We can do whatever you choose. I know that Valerie submitted some labs for me to review, so that's great. I mean, I love doing the labs, and I know everybody learns a lot from doing the labs. So we could just jump right in. If at any point you have a question, comment, anything that you want to share, all you have to do is type it in the Q&A or raise your hand or open your line when there's a break. Raising your hand is... I think there's a little button at the bottom of the thing. There's like a little three dots and you can press the raise your hand. And if not, open up your camera and wave at me. And that raises your hand as well. That works really well too. And I don't like to be the only one showing. Is there, you know, that's the reason for these calls. I like it to be where we can see each other. So I'd love it if you open up your line so we can see each other, at least when we're speaking to each other, we could kind of connect. I think I really like that. But Valerie, I'm going to open up your labs and we'll get started with that. Let's see.
And can we still submit something since it's just three of us or four of us?
If there's time, yeah. I mean, if you have something, it's not a full case study call, so not a full case.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you ever listen to the thing I did on your case on the thyroid? Probably not.
You know, I've been trying to, Dr. Rita Marie. I guess it hasn't been edited and posted, and I could access the slides, but not the vocal, the audio. So I've been in communication with Christina.
Oh, you know what? I think that that module didn't get opened because there was something I was supposed to look at. But it's
okay.
You know what it is though. Here's what it is. It was the thyroid assessments. We did an open, where I recorded some of the content. We had three other modules in there. And what happened was, the course was done afterwards. I don't think I did it during. I think I went back and recorded yours later. So it wouldn't have been on until a seminar to be on there. And I think you're probably not up to that module yet. What module are you up to?
Oh, you know what? I'm just bouncing all around, actually. Wherever there's a need with a client is what I'm bouncing around to. So
I do have to get her to open that for you.
Okay. Who would that be? Christine? Yeah,
probably Lynn can do it. She has a little thing. Christine probably could do it too. But I know that Lynn has a little form that all she has to do is fill out if she wants someone wants to jump in. It's going to mess up the stuff. You may later get a, hey, thyroid assessment is now open, you know, because it's, you know, it's a computer. So it doesn't understand, you know, human logic and bouncing around. Bouncing around isn't something computers do real well, right? They're logical, sequential. They do what you tell them to do in the order you tell them to do it in. So we can't go back and say, hey, well, Cynthia's, we're giving it to her early. Just remember that when it gets to the time she's supposed to get it, because they don't understand that kind of logic. It's not sequential enough. So,
okay. Well, what I wanted to submit tonight was some of the genetic genie, two pages on that.
Well, go ahead and put that in and we'll do what we can, because I know that we have Valerie's and I don't see Isabel, and she had submitted some stuff too. So we'll probably.
But where do I submit that at this point though?
At this point, email it to me.
Okay.
Yeah, email it to NEPT or INE or something like that at Dr. Rita Marie. Do it to coaching@drratamarie.com. I know that'll get to me.
Okay.
And then I'll just go to it. Yeah, that's the easiest way, because otherwise it'll coaching it, Dr. Eamon. I'll just download it to my computer. All right.
Okay. If we have time, I understand.
Yeah, totally. And I love going through those genetic genies. I don't know if you guys were on it or I don't know if I gave you guys access to it, but we had a call the other day. It'll be posted soon in the nutrigenomics module in ERC. But, oh my God, we had a call that was just so packed with stuff. Valerie was on it. Valerie, open up your line. You there?
There. Yes. I got the time wrong.
You're on.
I missed the first hour.
Okay. So you didn't miss much. You missed me doing my own genetics. So
I want to see that. So I'll go back.
Yeah, yeah, that was me, because I didn't want to do anybody else. I wanted it to be something generic that could be pulled out that said introduction, so people could watch that and then watch everybody else's, or watch just their own if they wanted to. So it should, I'm hoping that it should be up. I know that I gave them like 10 files or something, 10 videos to put up, and some of them had to be split and stuff. So it's probably going to be more like 12. But yeah, what did you think? Was that helpful for you?
It was. I took lots of notes, and I still need to go back and go through and summarize even the things I want to do for myself.
Mm, good. I'm glad. It was fun to do, but I will tell you, going through and analyzing genetics for 11 people in a row like that, plus myself, which I already knew, was exhausting.
That was a lot.
It was really tiring. Yeah.
And where are we going to get that one, Dr. Rita Marie?
So if you go on to the NEPT site, I'll share my screen and just show you real quick how to get there, because it's been open, and there's a lot of treasures that, if you haven't been to Lynn's, what did she call them, orientations recently, you know, there's just so much on the site. So if I share my screen, let me share my screen with you. Okay, share screen, and I'm going to go to this. Okay, so you should see the nutritional endocrinology. Well, that's our practice accelerator page, but okay, so if I go to the side of the right sidebar where you have your membership dashboards, and under it you have VLM programs, that's our client programs. And I probably should have it changed to say client programs. And then if you go there, you probably have access to almost all of this stuff as a mastery person. And maybe not every single one of them. But the one thing here, you see where it says nutrigenomics?
Yes.
If you click there, and this can be real helpful, because I'll go through some of these with you. And I think it was Isabel that submitted some tonight. And you just get a sense of it. But I want to show you on here all the different, there's cases after cases after cases. Plus there's like, I don't know, hours and hours of instruction. And then we have the practitioner module, which isn't even open yet. That's even more. This is just the consumer side that's 20 hours worth.
I know.
But it's helpful. They probably don't watch it. It's really meant for you guys. But they probably don't watch everybody else's stuff. But there are some that do. There are some that just watch it and then they figure out what theirs is. So anyway, it's four parts. The first part is... it's got a couple of intro videos. Let me just hit this one. This intro to nutrigenomics. That has a video that talks about where to get the testing done, which you've already done. And it shows the instructions on how to do not just the genetic genies, but a little bit about the others, like the methylation. What's the other one? What's he call it?
Metabolic healing
and all. So intro to nutrigenomics. This, you know, probably heard me say this stuff before. It's like an hour long or maybe even half an hour long. Let's see what it says. It usually shows the time. 46 minutes. Okay. So it's a 46 minute intro. You've probably heard it. You've heard it at Shine, but you know, it's always good for a review if you wanted to. Then, there's actually a genetic factors assessment. It's a little mini thing. It's not no big deal, but it's something to like see if somebody likely has some genetic stuff. Like, oh, I'm always the one that, you know, my head spins when I go into the mall because I can't stand the smells, or I can't stand the smell of cigarettes even if they're 3 miles away, and you know, I get sick more than other people, and you know, blah blah blah. So there's some of that stuff. So it's just a little quiz. And then there's how to order, but then there's how to access the reports. So it's just a little updated video. I had to do a new one recently because 23andMe changed their access. And then I have this part, which is some of the other reports, which I show some of these in there, and then I have the links. So this is stuff that's general stuff. But then if we go to part two, this is where it gets really cool. Is interpreting. It takes a little while. This slide is being retired shortly. All right. So then we've got, oh, this is an this is where all the interpretation sessions are. I wonder if that's where she put the new one. I don't know. Then we have the interpretation pages. So if you've done your genetic genies, make sure you use these two. Detox interpretation and population interpretation. Because what I do is I lay out the order that it is on those reports, and I give you a little idea of what it means.
So if you have a request about these.
Sure.
Would it be possible to get a copy that does not have the highlighting? It prints pretty dark. It's hard to read.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I work off of printed copies, and it's hard to read.
I did it that way to show people like there were three of them, and it always meant to be together. I was just trying to make it easier. But yeah,
I can do it. Yeah. The highlighting you have there works great, and it makes sense. It's just if you could make a copy for us to print that doesn't have the highlighting.
Sure.
That would be great.
Without highlight. The way I usually do this with people is I'll use my Word copy. So actually, you know, I'll give you guys a Word copy. I think I'll see where I can put it. I'll post it on like the resource page or something. I'll give you a Word copy. That way, if you want to, when you're working with somebody, you can go into it and you can highlight. So I would actually highlight this and then copy it red if they have a red. Or yellow if they have a yellow, and I'd leave it blank if they were green, and that way I would know like what for them. Even looking back at it, I can give them it, and they can read it and go, "Oh, I've got these four different things that I need to be really aware of." So that
would be great.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you a Word copy of that, and then the same thing we have for the detox and the genetics, and then. What is this? Oh, I gave the downloadable graphic from, you've had that, you have that one already. Okay. And then what, so the interpretation sessions, this is the stuff that you guys would like, because the more you watch, the more you'll deepen your understanding. All right. So, does she have it in here? Yeah, no, she doesn't have them in there yet. So she's got July 2014, July 12th, though we had two separate ones, July 25th. Oh, that's what happened last year and the other years. I did them in two sections. Yeah, I did it all together. No wonder it was so much more tiring.
Yeah.
So she
had 7 hours.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was 9 hours, because it went from... It went from 9. Yeah, it went late. It went later. So it went from 10 a.m., I think, until 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was long. So these are all the ones from previous ones. I'll just show you the most recent one. Usually we broke them up, but sometimes it depended on how difficult it was and how ambitious my person was that was doing it. The video person, you know. Okay, so it's waiting. There it is. So this shows, according to genetics interpretation session, so she broke them up. Ah, she just put people's initials, see? SE, and people would know, oh, I'm SS, so I'm going to go watch my SSs. This had two people in it, so that's how she did it. So these are fun to watch, because as you watch these, you're going to see my screen share. No, these weren't on Zoom, I don't think. This is before we use Zoom. Yeah, so you see my screen share, and this, like, I was doing them next to each other, and you just see me going through and analyzing them for people. So it's really great stuff. Each of these is probably 4 hours worth. 4, wow. 8, 12, 16, 20, 24. Yeah, it's probably each one, because that's what I think I did usually. It was, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8 hours of interpretation. Anyway, does that answer your question, Cynthia? Long rounding.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, that's great. And I just emailed you. That's for this a client of mine.
Okay, great.
So yeah, and so
I'm going to change that. I'm going to do a diff. I'm going to let the screen share change. Let me find. I'm going to new share, and I'm going to share my thing that has. Where's my show windows? It should be the one that has Valerie's something. Dropbox, templates, It should be, there's the master tracker. I'm looking for the one that's, well, let me put this down and let me see. It's actually, here we go. That's it, lap. Okay, so Valerie, tell me what you've submitted and I'll make sure I have them all up.
It's the Great Plains Oat, as well as the GPL Tox and the glyphosate.
Okay. Okay, so Great Plains Oat, Great Plains glyphosate, and the Tox one. Okay, cool. I haven't looked at the Tox one yet. That's relatively new. So you guys can see it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Does it get in? Let's see if I can make it a little bigger. No. Yeah, that's better. Okay. So so tell me what you're seeing here, and then I'll go back. We'll go back over it. Because I think the more that you guys, you know, especially if you've seen these before, the more you guys are doing this with me as opposed to making it passive and shooting information at you, I think the more you're going to learn.
I'm pretty new to the oat.
Okay.
But the first thing that stood out to me was the arabinose.
Yep. Yep. And that's a fungal, yeast fungal marker. So it's a toxin. All of these are toxins that are secreted by yeast or funguses. So while you can't really, you don't know which kind it is, you just know that there is a yeast that's secreting arabinose. Okay. Oh. It's pretty low, but it's probably a yeast overgrowth going on. Okay. When you go back to their explanation, it's you know, it's pretty, it's, there's their interpretation of that first page. Usually, okay, that one. It went right to oxalates. Why is it not showing that? Anyway, it's not terribly high. It's just a little bit above their range. But I would take it as, you know, you might not need a major killing program with numbers that are just slightly high like that, but it would be helpful to make sure your microbiome's in order, that you got good probiotics going on, that you're not eating sugar and things that are going to feed yeast, and just like really follow an anti-yeast kind of program. I don't know that you necessarily need to just like slather on all the antifungals and stuff like that.
Okay.
But, you know, but unless you're having gut issues where you're going, oh, you know, I'm bloated all the time, and every time I eat this, I get that, then it might be a consideration.
Okay.
Okay. But otherwise, your bacterial markers look good. They're low. Your Clostridium markers are low. So everything's, it's just a slight yeast tendency. And even if you do a stool test, it might show up as a mild yeast overgrowth.
Okay.
Okay. So let's look at the rest of this. Ah, high oxalates.
Yeah, very high.
Very high. You know, what kind of symptoms do you experience on a regular basis?
I was not aware of any, really.
So you feel great all the time, 100% of the time? You're good?
Well, that's not true. I've had fatigue most of my life since 87. But in, definitely in the last several years, got better a couple years ago when I changed my diet. And then, I've been in your program and doing better. Okay. But there's still much room for improvement.
So I wonder about the if oxalates could have something to do with it.
I don't know. I have one joint that sometimes swells up. It's on my index finger of my right hand. And I haven't been able to tie it to anything yet. But it's been down the last couple of months. So.
Oh.
I don't know what it is.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I don't like to, when you see something on paper, so yes, it could be related. Yes, it could be related to a chronic kind of inflammatory condition in your body. And it could relate to fatigue. So what do you do? Like, why don't you just plan a couple of weeks to try a low oxalate diet? But I wouldn't go just directly low, because sometimes you can have oxalate dumping and feel worse. But just slowly, just kind of phase out the high oxalate foods in your diet for a couple of weeks and see what happens. See if you notice anything different.
I've already started being more aware of it. Like tonight I made broccoli. I'm making broccoli soup. So I boiled the broccoli and I did not use the water.
Okay. So yeah, see what it goes. Because it's really, doing a low oxalate diet's not fun. Right. The kind of foods that we eat. And it may or may not be necessary, but it could be that, you know, hey, it's a warning, right? Just check it out. Just try it.
Right. And I will be running this test again probably in a few months. I bought this one at ShyCon, and I won one in the raffle at ShyCon. So
good for you. Yeah. There you go. And so now you have a follow-up. Perfect.
Right.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
What about lactoplantarum for gobbling up oxalates? Do you like that?
That's a very good idea. I completely forgot about that, you know? And maybe there's a relationship between the high oxalates and the candida marker, right? That maybe there's a little bit of an imbalance. Yeah, I know Steph talks about that all the time, that they love eating oxalates. And I did just, yeah. That might be a good idea.
Okay.
I'm in Denver, and you can get the Body Ecology, Donna Gates' stuff at some of our health food stores. You don't have to mail order it.
Oh, okay.
So she has the lactoplantarum.
She has the plantarum.
Yeah.
Her probiotic beverage, I love the taste of them, but I don't know what organisms they have. I bet they have plantarum in them too. She has like a kefir type beverages that you can order on her site.
Oh, I've never ordered from her site, but I just know that Natural Grocers. You guys have Natural Grocers.
Yeah, Natural Grocers. Yeah.
My Natural Grocers here sells her stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think that, I think I've actually bought them there.
Yeah.
I think I have.
I mean, they're as expensive as I'll get out, but they are there.
Yeah. Let me look to see. Lactobacillus. Oh, wait. It's called, what is her thing called? Cocobiotic. You know, I'm a big fan of getting, here, Cocobiotic. Let's see what's in it. They sell them at a lot of sites, sell them. Let me see if there's an ingredient list. These sites don't really. Can you get it by the ecology? She'll tell me what the ingredients are.
I can look that up if you want to keep going.
Well, thank you. That would be great. Thank you. Yeah, well, let me know.
And you're looking for the cocobiotics.
Yeah. All right. So, a little bit low in the aconitic acid. I'm not sure how to say it, but this is a Krebs cycle. So usually what I like to do, because I don't have all my Krebs cycle stuff memorized per se, like which order they're in. So I like to look at the picture, and there's not one here. So I thought they had one in here. Usually then I pull up my Krebs cycle picture. See if I can find one that I can open as a PDF so it'll be in the same window. Open. And we're going to go to here we go. Program files. And we're going to go to here. Programs. Okay, I'm going to see if I can pull up the Krebs cycle picture. And what I like to do with these, because they're very functional tests, is I like to look at the metabolites around and say, oh, if that's low, you know, what's happening here? Is there a cofactor? Is there a B vitamin, especially in the Krebs cycle, that's low in it? So I'm just going to open up that Krebs cycle picture from our cellular metabolism, cellular energy, whatever. So let's see if I can find it. What do we call it? Store. That should be it. Cellular metabolism video slide. There we go. Okay, good. I'll open that one up and we'll find the Krebs cycle in here. And this is module 2. There we go. All right. So aconitic acid, where is it? Why am I not seeing it? This isn't a complete one. Perfect. Here we go. Here he is, Sisakanate. This is it right here. So if that one's low, let's go back to your picture. What happened? Go back to this. All right, there we go. Let's see if stuff so oxo. These all are others are really pretty good. Succinic citric is 200, but this is low. And then this gets higher again. And I'm not sure the order. Give me a second. There. Can you see? You see this, right? You see the Krebs cycle?
Yes.
Let me pull this so it's right next to yours so I don't have to keep trying to go. Okay. So really when you're analyzing these things, the best way to do it is with, there we go, is with your charts, you know, pull out your charts. Now you can go to the cheat sheet in the back, which is a good place to start, where they go, okay, what is this? High oxalic acid, they're talking about, you know all that stuff. So we'll go through that. They're not even mentioning. Interesting. Let me go back. Are they not even mentioning the? They say it's low, but it's not even showing in the description. Unless this is out of order. High oxalate, that's all oxalate. And then they skip right down to the neurotransmitter section. They don't even mention it.
Huh.
Isn't that weird? Because it is low. It's not like it's borderline. They marked it as low. Interesting. Interesting. So we don't know what they're saying about it. It is one of the Krebs cycle metabolites. And what I like to do is see, like, okay, what's the step? So what it looks like is this step here. Here, right here, you see it right above the cysteine, and that's coming out of it's coming right out of the cycle right above cellular metabolism cycle. So carbohydrates could go. So it could be any of these B vitamins that are not. So what's after it? That's the other one I want to look at. So what's after it? Isocitrate. So isocitrate is right here, and that's high. That's kind of interesting. So if this is low and this is high, it means this is overactive almost, right?
Can you show the isocitrate that's high? I didn't see that.
Not high, but on the higher end of – well, no, it's not actually. It's low. It's low as well. Never mind. I was just looking. So the citrate is here. The aconite is here. Then what goes after that? Succinate. So it's succinate is low. So all of them are kind of low until we get over to oxoglutaric. So succinate is low. Fumarate, malate. I mean, the low end of normal anyway. Fumarate and malate. Fumarate's high. Sometimes it makes a lot of sense and sometimes it doesn't. So fumarate's high. Succinate, so it could be overactivity of this step, but then the malate gets back into pretty normal or pretty much the same area. So the only one that's high would be the fumarate. Are you taking any B2, tyrosine, phenylalanine?
No, I haven't been taking much of anything since the liver cleanses. I got off almost everything.
Well, this isn't going to be a real obvious one. Sometimes they're real obvious. You go, oh, this is high, this is low. Look, B2. Okay, we're low in B2. Maybe that's it. Or magnesium or whatever. But there's, for some reason, it may just be general B vitamins.
I took some notes. I don't remember where I got this, but it's that it's dependent on glutathione. It's elevated in mitochondrial disorders, but mine is low.
New Year's is low, yeah. Let's just look it up real quick. Content.
I wonder if having not enough, no? I didn't see anything that talked about low.
Yeah. Let me look up. Let me just go to the, I'd like to go to the White Plains, the Great Plains. White Plains is a city in New York. Mm-hmm. Used to live there, not there, but near there. Great Plains. Okay. I know that we have on the site in the module that's not yet open, but and let me see if I can find it on my version. I don't want that. Let me go back to our site. Okay, I had one open before. Oh, it did it open it and didn't open it in a new window. So let me go back to our site. Sites. All right, I'm going to go back to the INE site. And we're going to look at, and I'll switch the screen share so you can look at this and see if we can find it. So if we look at the I'm pretty sure it's already up. It's just not open yet because I still have to proof some stuff in it. We find it. Digestion assessment. I have a thing on the oat test, but I don't know if she put it up yet because she said I had to proof it. No, darn. But the interpretation guides might be there. Give me a second. Sorry, I'm talking to myself as I try to find this. Okay, digestion assessment. And then there's done for you resources. I think I put it on there. I put the interpretation guides. Nope, she didn't put them up yet. Nope. All right, let me just try one more place to pull it up, which would be go back to here. And then if I do file open, and I go to... Oh, okay. Acetic acid. No, that's just the testing slides. Here, I'll open that up because that's okay. Okay, so this is a preview of the soon to be released. Okay, here we go. Interpretation. Arabinose was the one that was high. It doesn't say. So do you eat a lot of grapes, apples, or pears?
No.
Okay. And they tell you, I think, to avoid those for 24 hours anyway. Okay. So
they do.
Okay, so.
You mean avoid them before the test?
Before you take the test, because otherwise they can, yeah, because they contain arabinose. Okay, so let's look at, there's the oxalate. Dosir, elevated, here we go. Elevated oxalic acid may be associated with dysbiosis from aspergillus, penicillinum, or possibly candida. Or high doses of vitamin C. Do you do a lot of vitamin C? Were you doing vitamin C before this test?
I don't think I was, no.
Okay. But it could be related. That was a good catch, Cynthia, about doing the plantarum because, okay, so lactic acid, pyruvate, there's the citric acid cycle. That's the one we were just looking at, succinate, fumarate, aconite. And the citric acid is dependent on glutathione. That's where you read it, somewhere in an interpretation guide for this. But I don't know why it's not in yours. It's not listed in yours. elevated mitochondrial disorder. So glutathione. Do you know anything? Do you know genetically? Do you have any of the SNPs for GST, P1 or N1?
I think I do have the GST.
Okay. All right. Let's look through the rest of this, because let's see what else is going on, because there is a section on detox markers in here as well. All right. So it might be a glutathione thing. Good to know. So you're super high on your HVA-VMA ratio, basically because they're both really low. Usually when VMA, HVA is high, it's not a good thing, but it's not high. It's actually just higher than the other, which is low. So right. The ratio looks off. So you can't always trust ratios, right? Because if two things are low, so you can't get off in that. But your tryptophan is really low. Serotonin marker, your 5-HIAA, which is here. Right. So if we look at the metabolism, start with tryptophan. It can go down the 5-HTP serotonin, 5-HIAA, or quinolinic acid. We don't want it to go down quinolinic acid because that's a neurotoxin. Okay, so if we look at your numbers, both of them are low. So I think it just means that you don't have enough tryptophan. And this could lead to depression, low energy, because tryptophan, poor sleep, because it's a precursor for serotonin and then melatonin. So the ratio is high, but again, it's the same thing. You're just low. You're just really low in these metabolites. So you're both your tyrosine and your phenylalanine dopamine pathway and your serotonin pathways tend to be low.
Right, and I think that's shown up also on other tests. My neurotransmitters are all low.
They're all low, and it could be an amino acid deficiency, right? It could be low stomach acid, and you're not absorbing them. It could be the lack of these in your food. So let's look at some other stuff before we make any decisions about this. So the only things that are high here are the ratios, but the ratios are high. It doesn't mean a thing, right? Because everything is low. So all your neurotransmitter precursors are low. Have you ever supplemented with amino acids?
I don't believe I have. Okay. I've done 5-HTP and I've been doing some lately, but I'm not noticing any improvement or anything right now. Years ago, I took 5-HTP every night.
Okay. For sleep. Do you have trouble sleeping?
I am having some. It's really crazy.
It's crazy because you can't fall asleep or you can't stay asleep?
Both sometimes. And after the retreat, I decided to try to move my hours earlier since we'd been on Eastern time.
Yeah.
And I've been getting up earlier, and I was setting my clock earlier and trying to go to bed earlier, and I totally exhausted myself.
Oh.
Because I couldn't sleep.
Wow.
It was really strange. Or I'd go to sleep for an hour and a half, which I guess is my cycle, and then I'd toss and turn for an hour or more.
Hmm. So, That's all new? That's relatively new since you got back from...
The trying to move it earlier was.
Right, but in terms of the difficulty with sleep, is that something relatively new or is it something you've had for a while?
It's been going on for a while. I came off estrogen about a year ago. My bioidenticals, I'd been tapering it for years and came off completely, and that introduced a new level of sleep difficulties.
Mm. Okay. Well, this could have something to do with it, these neurotransmitters. Do you feel depressed at all or anxious at all?
Yeah, some.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's the serotonin for sure, isn't it? You know, you feel overwhelmed when you're low in serotonin. The energy is more related to the phenylalanine tyrosine because it's precursor to norepinephrine and epinephrine, right?
Yeah. Lack of energy has definitely been a problem. I have so many things I want to do, and it is so hard to get the energy to do them.
To do them. I hear you.
Yeah.
All right. So, we're looking at a mild candidus thing, probably a dysbiosis, maybe microbiome's off, possibly not producing enough GABA and other things that you might have in your that are produced in your gut, serotonin, dopamine, GABA.
That's true. I've done the edge effect tests and I seem to be a GABA type.
You do.
I'm really low, and I'm low in everything, but definitely in GABA.
GABA. And you're a GAD. Do you have GADs in your,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that, that.
I think I've got about 7 or 8 of those.
Oh, good. Yeah. 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 And this test unfortunately doesn't show GABA. Metabolites. It just shows these two, but my guess is that that's low as well. Okay. I don't worry about the ketones, because if you've been on a low glycemic diet, you're going to have ketones, and that's actually a positive thing.
Okay.
You know, so that's going to trigger more in the way of fat burning versus glucose burning.
That would be good.
Yeah. So that's, I'm not concerned about that at all. Your B12, your methylmalonic acid is high. So you've got a B12 deficiency going on here.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And low ascorbate. Now, ascorbate, you know, lasts in your body 6 hours and then it's going to be gone. So if you did an overnight collection and you had, you know, it's likely that it's going to be low unless you, this is 24 hours though, right? Is this 24 hours or is this, I forget, is it first morning or 24 hours?
Oh, wow. I'm forgetting myself.
I don't remember. Why am I drawing a blank on this? I think it's a 24-hour test. I think you do. You skip the first urine in the morning, and then you do the second all the way through the first the next day, is what I'm thinking. Pretty sure. Anyway, I have to look it up. Yeah, so low ascorbate and low vitamin B12, super important nutrients. Right. So I would be making sure you get on those. Your glutathione precursors are zero. Yeah. So the things that could be helpful here, definitely a B12. Knowing what your SNPs are is going to just dictate which B12 is going to be the best bet for you. So if you've got some COMTs that are red, you definitely don't want to start with large doses of methyl B12, right? You want to start with some hydroxy and then slowly build up. But if you don't have any of the homozygous COMTs, then you can certainly start. I'd still start small. But especially if you're prone to anxiety to begin with and prone to hypervigilance to begin with, if you have the COMT SNPs and you add in a whole bunch of methyl B12, you're just going to aggravate that.
Right.
It's not going to be.
I was doing some of the Seeking Health methyl B12 sporadically, and it may have done that. So I also have some adeno that I'm starting to add now.
Do you remember if you have the COMT homozygous?
Which is the best report to find that quickly?
Oh, quickly would be the genetic GENI methylation report. It's right at the top.
Oh, let me see if I've got that here.
Yeah, that's a quick one to find. Even so, given anybody that's prone to a little bit of anxiety or hypervigilance, you know, I got to do it right, got to be perfect. I was calling it the perfectionist gene on the call the other day. And a lot of people were like, yep, there goes my perfectionist gene. But if you have those COMTs, you just don't want to take a chance. And even if you do, you still want to go slowly with methyl B12, because if there's any backups in genetic pathways and enzymatic breakdown and dopamine, et cetera, you don't want to aggravate it. So did you find it?
I don't have the red COMTs on the genetic GENI.
Good. Okay.
I've noticed they show up differently on different reports.
Well, those don't usually.
But no reds on that one, just the red on the VDR and the MAO.
Okay, yeah, the MAO will definitely lead to the anxiety stuff and the combination VDR and MAO for sure. So, and those with the combination of those with a heterozygous on the COMT can create just that general state of like OCDism is what the way they describe it in one of the reports. So I would say that you don't want to be inconsistent with this B12. Because long-term B12 deficiency can lead to neurologic damage.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So this will reverse quickly. This 3 months later, this will be fixed if you are consistent with it. Okay. So
should I just go
I would go with the adenyl, and that'll help your Krebs cycle anyway. So I think the adenyl, the glutathione, or NAC is a precursor, or both, because your NAC was super low. The adenyl B12, and then do that for a week or two, and then just start with little small drops of the liposomal methyl. Not a whole dropper full, a single drop, and just pay attention. Pay attention. This'll help your energy, and maybe you just have this has probably maybe been a problem for a long time.
Yeah, I think so.
And that would contribute to low energy. It would contribute to all sorts of, you know, psychiatric, neurologic difficulties. And you can't go wrong with just getting to bowel tolerance on ascorbic acid.
Okay.
Just so valuable.
I've got a question about the perk, because my perk I've had for a little while and it keeps turning brown.
Keep it in the fridge. Mine did too. You live in Texas.
Okay.
It's the air. You live in Houston, but, you know, it's too humid. And if it's not sealed completely tight, mine has done that too. And if you can get rid of some of it and you've got still got some white in there, you're fine. But the brown is all, it's oxidized. So you need to.
Okay, so get rid of the brown.
Get rid of all the brown. If there's anything white left, then you can use it. But otherwise, get a new bottle and keep it in your fridge. I keep mine in my fridge.
Okay,
thank you. I've lost several bottles of it by keeping it out until I figured out to keep it in the fridge. And make sure you tighten it real well. It's very.
Okay.
Well, it's an antioxidant, right? It's gonna do its thing.
Okay. Whether
it's in your body or in the bottle. You leave it out in the air, it's going to do its thing. Yeah. So I would go bowel tolerance dose on that.
Okay.
Right. So, yeah. So biotin, do you have any issues with hair loss or nails, soft nails?
I have nails that have a lot of ridges in them and they keep splitting.
Yeah. So you can either go with a biotin or you can go with I would do a B vitamin, just a good general B vitamin plus the B12 is what I would end up doing.
I've got B minus.
Okay, do the B minus with the adenyl. Yep. Let's see what your folate numbers are. I think that's on.
I've also been adding some B6. I think that's pretty low.
I think you okay. So we'll talk about the neurotransmitter separately. But B6 is an absolute with higher doses of B6. Let me finish looking at this because I want to see if there's any other indicators. But I think you need to be doing some amino acid precursors for your neurotransmitters and B6 for sure. And if you look in your genes, which is the one for B6. I don't remember off the top of my head the name of it. You know, in the Shine notes last year, the third day, the slides, I had some slides on all the genes, and I had a bunch of them on nutrient-related. So you'd have to look that up and then look it up. You may have to actually look inside the raw data, because it's not one that's generally put on the reports. But there is
As I've been looking through things, I have made a mental note that I do need to supplement B6.
Okay.
Yeah. And that, no, that's a precursor to changing the glutamate in the GABA. It's part of producing GABA.
Yep, it's part of producing GABA. It's part of the estrogen metabolism pathways. It's part of the neurotransmitter pathways.
So I would think that the GADs would say you'd need to increase B6.
Yep, the GADs would definitely say that. Yep. Have you ever tried GABA-COM? I haven't tried it, but I keep hearing about it.
I don't know. I haven't.
It's supposedly a really well-absorbed GABA. Some of them don't cross the blood-brain barrier.
Right. That's why I hadn't been focusing on that. But I'll try something that might cross that barrier.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of good things about GABA-COM, and I'd love it if you try it and tell me, because I keep hearing about it and from colleagues who have been using it. And actually, somebody in one of our, I think she was in Sweet Spot, she uses it and loves it. She thinks it works beautifully.
Oh, but that would be good.
Okay, where'd the folate one go? There's usually a folate marker. Oh, okay. Here we go. Nope, those are detox ones. Yeah, so so your detox pathways are slow. And your hydroxybutyrate, that's a ketone again. Okay. Yeah, I would say that the liposomal glutathione, Seeking Health has one. There's others that have them too, but the liposomal glutathione would be helpful. NAC could be too, but go slowly. Look at your sulfur metabolism pathways in your genetics. If you have a whole slew of sulfur metabolism issues, then go. I wouldn't do the NAC and the glutathione. I just start with the glutathione and not overdo it.
Okay.
The only thing that you can really tell in the amino acids is if there's high ones, then there might be a metabolic genetic defect. So all of these are low, and it doesn't mean you have low levels, although it could. You know, it's really you'd want to test the amino acids to begin with. But this is testing different metabolites. But the malonic is high, and I'm wondering if that has to do with why your B12 is low. If there is a genetic marker associated with it. So let me see if they mention any of that. Okay. Yeah, and don't pay any attention to this where it says these ratios and it describes it, because these don't apply.
Right.
Because yours are all low. Right. So it's just a computerized report.
Right. I understand that.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. It's kind of weird that they've almost like, it just says have no known clinical significance. Okay. Yeah. So I think that the main things coming from this, the gut dysbiosis. So, you know, the plantarum is a great idea from Cynthia. I would do this other stuff before playing with the oxalic acid, because the high oxalics could just be related to the gut. So before you drive yourself absolutely nuts, sure, you can look and you can do some things to maybe reduce them a little bit, but I wouldn't go nuts on the oxalic acid. I'd look to see if you get the gut straightened out, if it's just related to imbalance in your gut flora.
Okay.
Okay, so I wouldn't even address it other than the plantarum at this point. And the glutathione, the B12, vitamin C, and B6. So those are the Bs. You can do your B- plus a little extra B6, maybe some 25 milligrams of P5P.
Okay.
I would do, so you've done tryptophan, 5-HTP, but you haven't done it with tyrosine, right? You've just done the tryptophan, the 5-HTP?
It's funny. I used to take tyrosine in the mornings, and I would take 5-HTP at night. I didn't take them together.
Yeah, that's right. That's the way you're supposed to do it, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how you're supposed to do it.
But I have not taken the tyrosine in quite a while.
Okay.
So should I add that back?
Yeah. So if you're taking the 5-HTP, tell me what dose you're taking.
I have a powder, which I have to measure, a tiny little spoon that I'm using.
Who makes a powder?
I'm shooting. It's bulk supplements I got off of Amazon.
Good. Yeah, good. Because that way you can. Because the thing about 5-HTP is that most of the dosing shows like 150 milligrams a day, and most of the capsules come in 25. So it's like you have to take a whole lot. So
The 5-HTP I used to take, I'd start on 50 and take it for a little while and then go up to 100.
Yep. Yep.
And I would buy it in 50s or buy it in 100s. And I took that for years, but I've been off of it for a few years now.
And you didn't notice a difference when you went off of it?
I tapered. And it's been quite a while.
Yeah, so hard to say. But you definitely need it. It's definitely showing that you need it.
Okay.
And I just want to share with everybody the difference between taking tryptophan and 5-HTP. And some people respond well to taking tryptophan, but others don't. But if you look up here, this doesn't show the full pathway. Darn it. Oh, yeah, it does. Okay, never mind. Okay. So the tryptophan can get converted to 5-HTP to serotonin, but it can also go down this other pathway if a person's under stress, if they've got infection, et cetera. So the 5-HTP, you're guaranteed it's going to go down to serotonin.
Right.
Right. With the tryptophan, you're not. But some people do better with the tryptophan. So try the 5-HTP. You've got it. Continue to take it. Move the dose. Do it consistently. I would say you can do it at night. You can do it mid-afternoon and then night again if you want. Oh. Okay. And see how it goes.
Okay. I'll become more consistent.
Be very consistent with it and start with the 50. I would say starting with 50 is good. Go to 100, go to 150. You can go safely up to 300 a day.
And how long do you think she should be consistent?
Oh, I would be consistent. I think, you know, if you get up to dose, it could be pretty quickly that you'll notice a difference. So, but I would be consistent for a good month and just see. And do some objective, you know, it's like write down your level of sleep disturbance. You know, if you had to rate it on a 0 to 10, where 10 is like miserable and I can't sleep at all, and 1 is like I'm sleeping like a baby, then, well, babies don't sleep. So I don't know. I'm going to get out of saying that thing. We say that thing and it's so stupid. Really, right? Whose babies sleep? Mind you. Sleeping like a teenager. How's that? That's good. 12 hours, 14 hours. Yeah,
the 5-HTP years ago really made a difference.
It did make a difference, yeah. So I'd get back up. What dose were you taking back then? Was it 100?
100. It was just 100.
Okay. I would go back and do that. Start with, if you've been doing 50 now, just up to 100. Be consistent with it. Add the B6, because here's the thing. The B6 is needed right here. If you don't have it, and it's needed here too, right? So the 5-HTP, and they don't have the melatonin shown on here, but the B6 is needed for both of the conversions. So if it's low, you're not going to convert, even if you have plenty of 5-HTP.
And I usually do take the B6 at night.
Okay. Yeah, and I would do the P5P 25 to 50. If 25 doesn't seem to make a difference, go to 50. It's not going to get you into toxicity until you get into the 500s.
Okay. Great.
All right. And then I would start with the tryptophan, do it for a week and then add back in. Be consistent for a week and then add the tyrosine. Okay. Because tyrosine is going to be more stimulating. Right. And I want to get your sleep handled first and then go easy with the tyrosine. Tyrosine again, like morning. That's why you take tyrosine in the morning. This is going to be more stimulating.
Right.
All right. Okay. And then that needs the B6 as well. So I think if you probably, it would be good if you get 25s and do 25 in the morning and 25 at night.
Oh, okay.
That might help too. It is water soluble, right? In 6 hours and it's peed away.
Great.
Makes sense.
It's great to have a plan.
Yeah. And then the glutathione, I would just do some glutathione look for glutathione foods. Avocados have good glutathione precursors.
I've had to leave them out. I just tested allergic for avocados.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. One of my favorite foods.
To me. One of mine too. All right. Is that it? Do we get it all? Let's look real quick at your... Okay.
Yeah, that surprised me.
So where's it coming from?
I don't know, because I'm mostly doing organic.
That just goes to show where it is, and that's going to mess your gut flora. I remember Jamie posted to the Facebook group probably about a year ago saying the same thing. Like, where the hell is this coming from? I eat organic. I grow my own food. You know, it just goes to show what's in the environment. Maybe it's because you haven't had the detox pathways that are involved with taking it out.
Ah.
Maybe because of the low glutathione. I'm wondering, let me just up real quick. I'm wondering if like modified citrus pectin would be good at dragging it out.
And Dr. Marita Marie, you trust this lab?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been around a while.
It's been around a while, yeah. The guy, the head of the lab is a big speaker at a lot of the nutrition conferences. I mean, he's you know, he's smart. He's not just like a business guy that started a lab.
Right.
Which, well, I'd say that in jest, but really. Glyphosate, how do you spell it? G-L-Y, yeah, okay. And then
And Lynn is typed in the chat, airport with a question mark.
Airport?
Lynn typed that into the chat.
Oh, you don't live near the airport.
Well, I wasn't sure where how far she lived because I know they found some like drifting from people having some exposure to the chemtrails from
how far do you live from the airport?
For me?
Yeah.
I'm in the southwest part of the Houston metropolitan, so I'm pretty good from Intercontinental, but I'm closer to Hobby.
Hmm. Okay, so bioorganic food, gently remove. Well, here's some ideas for detoxing from that. I mentioned modified citrus pectin because I had a feeling of it, and definitely that's listed. Fermented foods are listed, and fiber, increasing your fiber. So do you have regular multiple bowel movements a day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, I would go back to the lookup. Did you ever find that, Cynthia, what the ingredients were in that cocoa biotic?
Yes, and Lynn has posted in the chat, and let's see, I got out of there. The cocoa biotic doesn't have the plantarum.
It doesn't have plantarum. So, you know, add some plantarum. Start making more fermented. Do you make sauerkraut or anything, kefir?
I haven't done too well with the making sauerkraut.
Because it didn't work well, or just you didn't?
I tried it once, and I was scared to eat it, to tell you the truth.
So here's what you could do.
Probiotics. I have the bifido because I tested with no bifido in my stool test and no lacto either.
Okay.
And I also have the 11 strain by custom.
Yeah, I would look for the plantarum and see, because that specifically eats up the oxalates.
Okay, that's really good to know.
Yeah, that's good stuff that you have there, but the plantarum will eat up the oxalates. Okay, and you can always like fortify store-bought probiotic foods. You know, if you tolerate them, you don't have a histamine reaction or whatever, but you buy some sauerkraut from the store, you can stick in some extra bifidus and plantarum and let them sit, and they will thrive in there. They will grow.
Okay, good idea.
Yeah.
In the refrigerator or on the counter?
Yeah, I think either way. They'll grow slower in the refrigerator, but I think they'll still grow.
Okay.
I'd be concerned about leaving them out because I don't know how long they fermented before and whether it's going to hurt them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
You got enough? Let me see what, there was one of the tests you put in.
Hey, and a clarification on the glyphosate. How long are they finding glyphosate stays in the body? I mean, it's depending on our detox pathways, right?
I think it depends on the detox pathways. Yep.
So, I mean, could she have had this for a decade?
Sure.
And longer?
It could be old exposure, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I wonder how long they've been doing it. I doubt they were doing it back when I lived on the farm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I used to watch them crop dust.
I'd look, oh, well. Okay.
But that was I'm older, so it's been a while.
Okay, I'd look up the half life. I'd look up how long it will remain in your body. And I would look at, you know, get your glutathione levels up. You might consider modified citrus pectin, like a Pectisol. It's a very slow toxin removal. It'll take out heavy metals as well, slowly.
Is there a difference between Pectisol and Pectisol C or any of those?
I think one of them has some extra, what's the stuff? Not carrageenan, but stuff from seaweed. So I think one is stronger than the other. It has the extra, some extra stuff in it. So,
but they both should be okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got a lot of toxins in your body.
Well, you know, it's interesting. At ShyCon, he put up some slides about, he told a story and put up a slide about someone who had a lot of toxins. And it turns out they were in the Galveston area. Oh. And the county there is like number one in several of these toxins. Well, I don't live far from there. And in fact, the county next to mine was like number two in a lot of them. Yeah. So,
okay. Well, it looks like the two main ones are the perchlorate and the 2-hydroxyisobutyrate. So I think the Pectisol would be good with the glutathione, and then you can see how you do with that and possibly add NAC from there. We'd get the stuff out of you.
Okay.
And what's the side benefit? I was listening to a summit, then they were talking about, you know, we talk about the side effects of drugs. Well, the side benefit of this nutrient is, so the side benefit of doing that is if you happen to have any metals, you know, mercury, lead, any of those, it'll drag those out too.
And I suspect that I do because my chronic fatigue started back in 1987 after I had massive jaw surgery.
Mm.
And before I had the jaw surgery, I had a lot of mercury fillings replaced.
Yep.
Traditional way with, so at first I thought it was the surgery that had caused the chronic fatigue and some of the drugs afterwards. But now I'm wondering if it wasn't really more of the mercury.
Could very well be. Well, it wouldn't even bother doing that right now because it's not going to change. I would work on this stuff that you know of right now. Good 6 months on the Pectisol. The side benefits of the modified citrus pectin, the Pectisol, is that it really has been shown, and there's some great resources. Let me pull it up. I think I still have the thing up, a PDF I was reading about it for cancers, all kinds of cancers protection. So copy. I'm going to put this into the chat. I just was looking at this before for somebody else that I'm working with. There. Okay, that's a very good little booklet on the citrus extract and some of the studies behind it. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I hope that was helpful.
Very much so.
Okay, good. Good, good. All right. So that was, yeah.
One more question. This is
sure. Cynthia. Yeah.
If she were to still have the mercury amalgams, is it safe to use the citrocell or whatever it's called, citra?
It's much safer to use it than to do like EDTA or DMSA or any of those things because it's very gentle and it explains to you how it works in this thing. You know, it shows you the cells and how it traps some of these things and pulls them out of the body. But it's very slow. That's why it's not like, and it's not like going in for 12 rounds of chelation. That could be devastating for some people.
Great. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So this goes really slowly. And if she's building up her glutathione and, you know, all the good liver support foods, and I would periodically do the liver cleanse. You do the liver cleanse with Jane?
I did one in March and I did one in May.
Oh, okay. Wow. Good. I did too. Super. Yeah, you might want to do another one when she does it in the fall.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll leave that one open in case I need it again, and I'll close these. And did Isabel come on? No, because I saw maybe she submitted those for the next call. That might be the one I didn't get to. I don't remember it, Lynn. if I got to hers, but I'm going to do Cynthia's. So let me go to my inbox and open up Cynthia's and save them. There we go. I got three. What is Zawak genetic? Zawak?
That's his last name.
Oh, okay. I'm like, it's repeated. Oh, like Zawak, Zawak. It's like, yeah. Okay. GRG, Zawak. Okay, good. So I am going to download these. Save all, and I'll save them into the folder for Cynthia under. And it's really nice that my Dropbox is finally syncing. Lynn loaded these files up, which is like 15 minutes ago, and they were on my computer based on her loading them on Dropbox. Yay, it's nice when it works. Okay, so awesome. Cynthia. Okay, good. So this is Cynthia, and okay, so there. And then let me get the next one. Okay, save as. Okay, there we go. And then the last one is Great Plains. Oh, good. Another oat. Now you get to be expert at doing it.
No, I'm not. But I was actually really hoping for your interpretation of the genetic.
Okay.
So I've got that open.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to close Isabel's, and we'll open them up as she gets in here. I think I might have gone through some of this the last time. I don't remember going through her daughter, though. Okay, so, yeah, I don't think we did. We might have gone through it slow, part of it. But all right, so this is her daughter still.
I think we did hers, yeah.
Okay, so let me open. Yeah, I remember doing it last time. I didn't know if she had put in some more or not, because Lynn had...
Yeah, I wasn't on last time, so I couldn't remember. So I thought, yeah, better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah. That was that marathon call that we did that went 3 hours. Did any of you hear Michelle and the interview I did with Michelle this afternoon? Very good.
Michelle was amazing.
Wasn't she?
Yes.
We got so many comments on that. It was awesome. All right. Client folders, NEPT cases, Cynthia. Okay, good. We're going to open up John's whack. Okay. Go there. Yeah, if you haven't, just go to my Facebook and check it out. If you want to see all the comments, you have to go to my personal page, because that's where we originated it from. Ooh, he's got some issues going on here. Okay, so where do you want to start? You want to start on the toxins? You want to start on the...
You pick. Whatever's easiest.
Let's go on the toxins. He's got a lot that aren't genotyped, and I wonder why. That I've never seen that many.
And what does that mean?
Well, it means that they couldn't interpret it. They couldn't. They looked at that locus on the gene, and they couldn't figure it out. So I don't understand why, unless it was a bad sample. I've never seen that. I've seen one or two here or there, but I've never seen that many. Have you ever seen that many, Lynn? That looks crazy. Like half of them, we don't know what they are.
Yeah, no, like you said, I mean, even on my own, there's a couple of them, but not this.
Never that many.
Not to this extent. Yeah.
So is that a genetic genie issue, or is that an issue with the 23andMe data?
I think it's actually the genetic genie, because when I've done both genetic genie, like I just did my own, and... there were some on genetic genie that didn't show up, but they did on the metabolic healing.
Oh, well, you could do metabolic healing for this, or you could do the MTHFR support. Metabolic, both of them cost about $35 to do.
Yeah.
I like metabolic healing.
I just did the MTHFR support because I was talking to Steph, and she said that she thinks there might be some inaccuracies on the metabolic healing. So... Mm-hmm.
Which ones? That would be good to know.
Well, so like I did the, I'm showing up as 3-3 on my APOE. She's like, well, you might want to go check the other one out.
Yeah, well, the MTHFR support doesn't tell you what you are. They just show you the actual gene. So you have to interpret, like there's a 2 and then there's a 4. And if you're green on both, you're 2-2. If you're red on both,
right,
you're 4-4, but there's ways you have to interpret it. So Interesting. 3-3 is the most common. Anyway.
Right. And it's the good one.
What the good one is 2-2. 3-3 is not the most. 3-3 is not the best.
Oh, well, okay.
No, 2-2 is what you're aiming for. 2-2 or 2-3 are better than 3-3. And 3-4 is getting closer, and 4-4 is the worst.
Well, right.
But 3-3 is the most common.
Okay, well, maybe that's what she was saying. Okay.
Yeah, it's the most common. It's not desirable, but it's common. Okay, so what we're looking at here are these CYPs. And remember I showed you earlier, in fact, I'll just open them over here so I can have them all in the same window and I don't have to keep sharing and not sharing. But I have, remember those interpretation folders I showed you a little earlier? Yeah. So the way I do these, I'm going to just take you guys through how I actually do this, and then we can talk about what this means. But I want to show you how I would go through this, because you have all the tools you need for these basic reports, for the two genetic genies anyway. And if I go to my program files, IME, I need shortcuts to these things that I do a lot. And we're going to do *DETOX and INE genetics detox. Okay, I'll open that one. And then I'll open the next one next. So if we look here, okay, that's that one. Okay, we'll do that. I'll just switch the order. Okay, so here's my cheat sheet. So print your cheat sheets out. Just print them out, stick them in a binder. So that way, whenever you're going through stuff, you know. This is the one that Valerie asked if I could give one of these that doesn't have the color coding, because when she prints them, it darkens. So we'll do that, and we'll give you the Word file so you could use it that way. And if you add to it, if you have the Word file and you add to it, please share. Like if you find some others written up and you add them to, please share. We'd love it. This took forever. These take forever to do because you have to look things up in all different places. Here you do have, no, this is, I thought it was the other one. Sorry. All right. So if we go here, he's got, I like to start with the red. So when I'm looking through, first thing I look is what's their bad stuff, right? So what's the most impaired? If I look at 1B1, there's three genes that could be measured. One wasn't tested for him, but the two that were both, one was heterozygous, one was homozygous. So there's quite a bit of impairment on 1B1. So we're going to look here. What is 1B1? Affects caffeine metabolism and estrogen metabolism. Increased risk of breast cancer, ovarian, and prostate cancer. So the hormone-sensitive cancers. Upregulation of the 4-hydroxylation of estrogen. That's for removing estrogen. Mostly problematic in women, but can be problematic in men as well, because it's a cancer-causing. It's a higher risk of cancer with higher levels of 4-hydroxy. So if we were to do the Dutch test, what we might see is that he'd have higher levels of the 4 compared to the 2 or the 16. Make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, keep him, you know, talk to him about caffeine and cruciferous vegetables, right? The stuff that can help protect cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, sprouts.
Yep.
Okay, protective foods. So those are those two. If we go up to 1A1, we're going to see that this is environmental. So detoxifies polycyclic hydrocarbons. So combustion of organic meat materials like exhaust fumes, charbroiled meats. So this is a guy that if he likes to eat meat, tell him, you know, he needs to broil his meat in the oven or steam it on the stove is actually the safest way, but he shouldn't be eating charbroiled meat, because his body doesn't detoxify well. Same thing, what I always tell people with the exhaust fumes is be careful in when you're pumping gas, right? You get out of the car, you're pumping gas, the car next to you is running its engine, you're breathing all that in. You know, don't do that kind of stuff. And also with the car going into the garage, you pull your car into the attached garage, you shut the door, the fumes are still there. They're not leave the door open for 20 minutes, that kind of stuff. So those are the kind of things you can tell him for this. And then he's got the gnats, the two gnats, and gnats have to do with various drugs. So, and here we go, N-acetyl transferase. And this is part of a phase 2 liver detox. And again, it has to do with the hydrocarbons, so two different genes that are related to the hydrocarbons, and he has two of these NATs, so there's more of an impairment. Tobacco smoke, so secondhand smoke, definitely if he smokes, he should quit, but the secondhand smoke can be a problem. And then there's certain other drugs, a couple of different kind of drugs they mention here, so talking about that, and various carcinogens. So again, you know, the cruciferous vegetables, the Brussels sprouts, and all that kind of stuff. So you can read in here and give them some ideas, like based on this, what kind of lifestyle things to avoid and lifestyle things to add. Yeah. Make sense?
And he's working on all of that. Yeah.
Good. Good. And you can just say, good, this is, I'm so glad you're working on that. And there's a good reason for it. It's not, so he doesn't get the idea that, oh, we're just going to do this for 2 weeks and then be done with it. Right?
Yeah. And this was the guy with the CK numbers through the roof.
Oh, gosh. How old is he?
55-ish.
Okay. Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely has to be careful.
He has the interstitial cystitis since he was 22 or so.
Wow.
And he's just not getting better. He's headed to Mayo Clinic.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, COMTs. So his MTHFR, oh, look at this. Yeah. So he's the guy that you don't want to just slap him on some methyl B12 and folate, right? Because this guy could get anxious. He can get irritable. He could get aggressive. Because you're not going to be able to process through. His dopamine levels, his serotonin levels are going to be messed up here. Okay. Mm-hmm. He could benefit from those sorts of things, from the 5-HTP type things. I would go slow with it, but I would start with, has energy real low?
It's not. I mean, he doesn't sleep because he's peeing all night, you know. Well, he's not peeing. He takes a drug. He pees 2 or 3 times a night. Oof. So less than he's urinating, you know, in the day.
So, and he's open to dietary changes. He's open to like completely revamping his life and diet.
Yeah. He's doing very well on that. I mean,
good.
He does gluten every now and then, which, you know, I think he's had the last slip with gluten.
Okay. Does he get a bad reaction?
Constipation.
Okay. But the thing about him is if he's got those CKs through the roof, right? That his heart is at risk. How's his homocysteine?
You know, I haven't looked at his stuff for a while.
So his homocysteine, like with these numbers, his MTRR and his MTHFR are both homozygous, which would say that he's not going to be able to, he's not going to be able to take that homocysteine and convert it to methionine. It's going to get stuck there. He's going to get elevations in homocysteine, which is going to be a cardiac risk factor.
Okay.
So those are the things that are really important.
So, Dr. Rita Marie, rheumatologist, neurologist, somebody's put him on prednisone because his muscles were wasting away. He's now tapering off of that. So I haven't worked with him for a few months, but we're recycling around. He's coming back around. And he's tapering off the prednisone.
That's helpful. I mean, there's times when prednisone is good and needed, but, you know, it's just too bad that they don't start with diet.
Well, I think he really needed that intervention. Mm-hmm. I mean, psychologically, because, you know, I can only convert him so far to, you know, these methods.
Could I make a comment?
No. Go ahead. Yeah.
Please.
Something that was just said was his wasting of muscles. Uh-huh. In the CGP, Dr. Tom's program, there's an issue called IBM, inter-something myositis, but gluten can cause the wasting of the muscles.
Ooh, good to know.
Yeah. Yes, and I've started the gluten practitioner, and, you know, I can only reiterate so much to him. And his D3 is less than, like, 40 as well, and I've requested he retest it. He's losing weight. He continues to lose weight.
I requested he have a full thyroid panel, and the doctor just did free T3, free T4, and TSH.
Okay, that's better than most.
Yeah.
That's better than most. So I would say, though, if he's wasting, like if he does have a gluten enteropathy, then he's wasting can be from intestinal malabsorption. So he's not going to be absorbing his nutrients, which he's not going to be getting his amino acids in. His muscles are going to waste away. So when you say...
His oats test too there.
His oats test there too? Okay. Do you have any other tests? Can you look? Because the other one that either the metabolic healing or the MTHFR support, I'd recommend that you guys get either one of those because there's certain SNPs that these two don't cover. And the ones that I would want to look at are the HLA-DQs to see how his gluten is. There's a few other HLAs in there that would have to do with, you know, the tendency towards that. There's a few that have to do with, you know, how well they're going to be doing dairy or there's a number of them there. His VDRs, let me see on here again. Oops.
He does have a cousin with lupus.
His VDRs are not genotype. What the heck is going on with this? Yeah, there's too many non-genotype. I don't know if it was a bad sample or if there's something screwy with this report or it's not reading it properly, but that's too many.
Could you run it again?
Run the report again? I don't think you're going to
get it. Yeah, I mean, it's free, so you just run it
through again. You certainly try it, but I don't know that it's going to be different. I don't know if there's some weirdness in there.
Well, I did, in case there was a computer thing or...
But it's two reports. It's kind of weird. Yeah, you could run it again and see, but I would also, if it does come out to be the same, I'd run the MTHFR support one or the metabolic healing because they'll show you all these genes. And if they're not genotyped there, then it's either... He's got some screwy deletions in his genes, which is kind of odd, which could talk about, I'd have to research that a little bit more, but if he's missing these particular gene SNPs or these areas, these pieces on the gene, then that could affect big time. Yeah, I don't know what that not genotyped is. I've never seen that many. I've seen one or two, and usually it says deleted or not genotyped.
Is genetic genie responsive to inquiries?
I've never done anything with them, so I don't know.
Okay. I will have him go back and rerun it, and I will report back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's also got some major dysbiosis too, Dr. Rita Marie.
Yeah. So you have his. Let's see. You said you have an oat test.
Oat and DRG, and the functional medicine doctor has put him on a mitochondrial protocol. And I think he's about a month into that.
Whoa, his arabinose is off the charts. You saw what Valerie's was just like right at the tip, but this one is so much that they've shoved it down.
Well, he had a levoquin poisoning and also the statin toxicity as well. So he's been pretty much screwed over.
You know, I would hate to say this, but this is the kind of guy that needs to go spend a few weeks at True North or something like that and just totally cleanse and detox. You know, because it's no, with all that stuff going on, there's just so much he'll do stuff is just, that's the piece I would work on getting through to him. Like there's so much that can be done to clean up and if he's not willing to. Like, is he, I would say this is serious and he's never been told that, right? It's just like, oh, what drug can we give you here? What drug? There's no... His liver's probably shot. Let's look to see what we see here. So he's got some dysbiosis. He's got some bacterial markers as well as yeast fungal markers.
And
Clostridia.
Yep. And DRG didn't show Clostridia, but it showed blasto and
H. Oh, he's got H. pylori. So he's not going to be absorbing protein. No wonder he can't. You know, his stomach is a mess. So he needs to get rid of the H. pylori. So in... priority sequence with the gut.
Yeah.
H. pylori is top priority.
Okay.
right?
And then the blasto, and then the candida.
Yep.
And I just kind of wanted to wait till he was off the prednisone.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of people go on candida, 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 that the blasto is there underlying it, and the candida just won't go away, or it keeps coming back. And yeah. The pylori there, then none of it's going to clear.
Right.
Pylori is boring holes. So he's going to need, he needs the diet first, you know, get rid of the toxic stuff, get rid of the stuff that's injuring the lining of the gut. He's got to get rid of this stuff. So he's getting, so if we go through 4 R's, right, remove. So remove the offending foods, substances, stressors, whatever. And one of them is the prednisone for sure. And remove the offending organisms. And then replace. So replace, you know, enzymes. You wouldn't give him stomach acid because he's got H. pylori. But you want to actually make sure you're replacing by lots of good foods with lots of nutrients, with the right nutrients to heal the lining. And then replacing like enzymes. He probably needs enzymes to help him digest this food.
He's taking those.
He's going to need to repair and re-inoculate. Yep. So, you know, the re-inoculate, you can start at any point. You just don't want to give it at the same time as antimicrobials. So you want at least 6 hours spacing in between it. And the... certainly the repair.
So I'm assuming she would have him do your leaky gut protocol, the 30-day leaky gut protocol?
Yeah, a 30-day leaky gut protocol would be great. But you really want to get rid of these. You want to get rid of these organisms. These are serious organisms, not just like a little extra candida albicans.
No, right.
Yeah, he's got to get rid
of these. But if you have leaky gut at the same time, you know, aren't you going to get that... have that reintroduced if you don't hand it.
Yeah, you kind of like over, yeah, right.
Exactly.
You got to get the,
you just kind of go back and forth. You don't,
right? You got to get the antimicrobial stuff started when it's this severe. And usually I like to give it a couple of weeks head start. Steph actually does a lot longer than that. But, you know, I think you've definitely got to address this H. pylori. And you can be doing things to soothe and heal the lining. You're going to help the lining to heal just by taking away the offending foods and adding the stuff. So, you know, my checklist of foods that hurt, foods that heal, you give them that, right? And say, we want you to get a predominance of these foods. We want you to cut out these foods because we got to get this healed. That's the kind of leaky gut approach I would be taking while getting rid of the organisms.
Well, one of the blessings of the prednisone is they scared the heck out of him to drink. So he's not quote unquote cheating with any alcohol. So that's a plus.
Yeah. So it's really having a conversation with him about the risk of cheating, the cost of cheating.
Yeah. He's cheating himself. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Serious stuff going on here.
He does have serious stuff going on.
Yeah.
Now, how come DRG doesn't show the Clostridia? Did I miss it?
This is Clostridia difficile toxin A. There may be different strains. This is not showing. This is just showing this 5 C. difficile. Yeah.
But that is that.
There could be a number of different ones. So maybe they didn't test for that particular strain that he has. Maybe that hydroxyphenyl acetate, maybe from something else. I don't know what else it could be. If we look back in their cheat sheet area, let's see what they say.
Remind me of the test that looks at the treatment options that are actually effective. Is that Doctor's Data? What one is that? That looks at
where they run the test. Doctor's Data does that. I think that there might be a test from Genova that does that. The sensitivities is what you're talking about.
For treatment, yes, because I think he needs to invest in that so he doesn't dink around anymore, right?
I would start with the H. pylori and then test, and then do that test. I would do that after working on the H. pylori.
Okay.
I already know that. And then working with the H. pylori may help the other stuff come down, and you might as well not do it now. You already have an indication he's got bacteria, he's got clostridia, you know all that stuff. Let's get rid of it. So the DHPA, that's the one that could be related to clostridia, but it can also be a substance that's found in different foods. Sunflower seeds, coffee, tea, apples, things like that. You'd have to be eating a lot of it, but it could be that. Could be if he's eating a lot of those foods, you can check. Okay. So let's see, what does this say? Harmless or beneficial bacterial lactobacilli mediate the breakdown of chlorogenic acid to this. So is he taking any probiotics right now?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so this could be, that could be causing that to be high. That could be increasing the breakdown of the chlorogenic acid.
Oh boy.
So it's not necessarily clostridia. So it may not be clostridia actually.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay, it may not be. And that's why, you know, if you look at the stool test, it didn't show clostridia. It may not be clostridia. That's just one of the possibilities.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And why no stomach acid with the H. pylori? I think there is a little
It'll feed it. It will get happy.
Okay. There is a bit of betaine, I think, in his enzymes.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know how strict he needs to be with it. It depends on how much is a bit. But maybe get him on enzymes that don't have the betaine. At least till the H. pylori is gone.
Do you like the Swedish bitters with H. pylori?
You know, you just don't want to be stimulating the stomach acid until you get rid of it.
Okay. Okay.
Is he taking B vitamins, pantothenic acid?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine then. Ascorbic acid's low, so we're looking at that.
So, you know, that's, he hasn't been doing a C because of the bladder, the interstitial cystitis. But I think the functional medicine doctor put him on some type of a C.
Liposomal will probably be the safest.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so glutathione, those two markers for glutathione, high levels indicate a glutathione deficiency.
Yeah, and the functional medicine doctor put him on that, and he said, oh, I take it from time to time. So apparently he didn't get the message of how important that was.
Important. No. Important for all of this, especially if he's still on medications. It's, you know, you want to enhance those pathways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does he eat aspartame, salicylates?
No.
It could be from the GI bugs that are producing the hydroxyhydroxyl. Aminos, what did we find on the neurotransmitters other than that? Yeah, so here, yeah, the quinolic. This is, again, an issue where you wouldn't take 39 as anything important because these are so low. It's not going to be a high level of quinolinic acid to cause problems, but he does have low markers for tryptophan. Tryptophan is an important component of gut motility. Does he tend towards constipation?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what might actually be helpful for him is the Modal Pro from Pure Encapsulations. Because it's got the 5-HTP and it's got other things to really stimulate things to keep moving.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and his tyrosine metabolites, the homovanillic is high. It's normal. I mean, the other one's low. So low energy this guy have, or does he see?
I think his adrenals are probably shot. He pretty much runs on adrenaline. He was an extreme type athlete, you know, wasn't competitive, but I think he pushed himself really, really hard.
Yeah. I'm not sure you want to address this right now.
Yeah.
Maybe the tryptophan with the stuff that's going to address his gut, I think it would be good. Cause as he's removing these gut bugs, you want to keep the motility going. You don't want this stuff to get stuck and create a SIBO situation.
No, we do not want that. Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as the tyrosine, I mean, you keep it in your back pocket and look at that as, you know, potentially something you'll look at down the road. Macuna, prurins can produce more dopamine, help produce more dopamine. It's a precursor as an herb. But again, like right now, I don't see that as the top priority. You've got to pick your stuff and you got to phase it in, because otherwise people get overwhelmed and it's too much for the body.
Well, and he's on overwhelm. I mean,
he already is, I'm sure.
So past supplement fatigue.
Uh-huh. So he's working with this functional medicine doctor. How did he come to be working with you as well?
He came to my fermentation class.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the queen of fermentation. I keep forgetting that. All right.
Well, and he won't touch any ferments right now, because he had a food sensitivity test way back at the beginning, and it said no yeast at all. And so I can't get him to eat any ferments.
Hmm.
And, you know, I like with Candida to kind of try crowding out those guys.
Right. That's the best bet to start, you know?
Yep. And he was loving it. So.
Not even, he won't even do like kefirs, coconut kefir.
You know, I think he's probably doing a little bit of coconut yogurt.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, I've known probably three people that have gone to Mayo, and it's been a colossal waste of money.
I think so.
And I think too, Dr. Rita Marie, I want to map him on the thyroid chart. Because I'm still very confused. He's got either pituitary hypothyroid or the autoimmune, I think he was.
Did he have, if he has antibodies, it's clearly autoimmune, right? And
they did a nuclear test. Are you familiar with the nuclear? And he came back as not having any antibodies on the nuclear.
I don't know what the nuclear test meaning, like they give them radioactive iodine?
Well, it's called an anti-nuclear test.
Hmm. Well, if they came back with no antibodies, then you don't have any legs to stand on in terms of autoimmune. But if you have your TSH, T4, and T3, it's pretty easy to calculate where he's at with that, right? So what are the numbers?
Let me find that. It'll take me. Labs. Thyroid lab. Nope. Oh. Dr. Rose, May. Oh, I've got to find it.
Okay.
I was still not real good at organizing all this data.
Yeah, that's why it's good to put it in the master tracker, because then it's all in one place.
Yeah. And I may have done that. 2714.
And believe me, that's been the biggest challenge for most of us throughout this thing, is as functional medicine practitioners versus just your standard allopathic. There's so much more that we tell them, we talk to them about, we think about it, and it's, you can't keep it all in your head. You have to organize it, and there's no real quick and easy way to organize it.
Yeah. Okay, so TSH on the 12th of July was 0.7.
TSH was 0.7, okay.
And then free T4, thyroxine, was 1.2.
Okay.
And then free T3 was
2.8. Okay, so he's got a conversion issue.
So
yeah, I don't see any issues with it being hypothalamic. What you'd see in hypothalamic or pituitary would be a low TSH with low thyroid numbers, or a high TSH with high thyroid numbers. But what you expect is a low TSH with normal or high thyroid numbers. His free T4 is fine. It's 1.2. The low end of the range is like 0.98 of the optimal range. But the free T3 is a little below that. It should be around 3 or above. So given that he has a 1.2, I would expect to see like a 3.1, something like that on his free T3. So it's really a conversion issue, which stress, inflammation,
right,
selenium, magnesium, those sorts of things. Vitamin D plays into all of this. So
yeah. Well, and in April, he was tested at 30 for D, and then kind of didn't communicate for a while. And then I begged him to get it done in the 12th, and it's just up to a 40.
It's up to a 40. Okay. How much is he taking?
Yeah. Not sure, but I think it's a tablet too. And he probably doesn't take those every day because he's on the supplement kind of overload thing. So
if he is, then here's the thing, get him to take a lot of it.
Yeah.
A couple of times a week.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Have him take 50 to 100 twice a week. Well, probably not 100, but if I was at 40 and I want to get him up, and he went from 30 to 40 in a few months, I don't know what he was on. So if he was on, you know, irregular, then he's probably doing pretty well at raising it. So you may want to have him on 10,000, 50. Yeah, so I would say 50,000 twice a week. And you can get him to do a liquid that's only, you know, not that many drops.
Yeah, I was going to suggest the emulsy with KT.
Yeah, because if you do that, then 25, if you're trying to get him to take 50 at a time, it's 25 drops. That's easy. Yeah. 25 drops, yeah. Is like a dropper full. It's nothing.
Right. Well, did you see anything in his genetics? He's really quite a whiner, I'm afraid to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really a matter of, does he want to whine about having a heart attack and wasting away to nothing? Or does he want to whine about, you know, his food intake? And who cares about the tastes and the extra stuff if it means your life?
Yeah, and if, right.
Spend a fortune to go to Mayo Clinic. A lot of time, they're not going to really tell him much of anything.
Yeah.
They're looking for needles in a haystack. But his VDRs are not showing, so I don't even know what they are.
Yeah.
Right? If you get the metabolic healing report, that will explain things a little bit more to him.
Is that the one that you guys think isn't working right now? Or there's
Stratagene might be a good one to do, because Stratagene actually goes and shows them in the different places what's going to increase and what's going to decrease the particular genes. It doesn't have as many as metabolic healing, but I think the Stratagene might be a good one as a, you know, something to give him and be able to explain better from it. He's still going to have to explain it, but it's going to give him those things. Oh, look what increases this. Oh, look what enhances this. Look what makes it worse.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you. He's, you know, I'm encouraged that he's come back.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So. And talk a lot about the diet, right? Go back to the gut. Talk to him about that gut being out of whack.
Yeah.
Talk to him about the importance of the probiotic foods, even if he's not comfortable with it. Maybe some of it that, you know, that's going to be less problematic. Maybe not sauerkraut, but maybe something else.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
So not the probiotic though, not the probiotic powder or
capsule. You can get him to take probiotic.
Okay.
If you can get him to take it. Yeah. I mean, however you can get him in. I mean, you're the fermented food queen, so you should be there. I just thought that, but yeah.
Yeah.
They don't show flora. That's the other thing about this test, right? The, where'd it go? The one from DRG. They don't show your normal flora. So elastase, everything, you know, enzymes are normal. Calprotectin is normal. So he doesn't have any anything. Anti-gliadin antibodies. He didn't get it tested. NA, what does that mean? Yeah, I mean, this has got a lot of nice bugs in it to test, but on the other hand, it doesn't, we don't have the normal flora. It's just a pathogen profile. So and when in doubt, go for bifidus.
Yes, okay. Okay. And then asked about the creatine. His creatine was 1.06. So that was okay.
That was okay.
And she asked about protein. What protein is she asking about?
Well, do you have a full lab there? That's good to know.
Well, I've been using my tracker. I've been trying to use my tracker. Yeah. So, I mean, I can share that, but.
It's okay. We're really out of time. It's been 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Other people's gotta. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I feel like I can come back to him now with more of a, you know, you're at a desperate state, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And desperate in times mean desperate measures, you know?
Yeah.
Change your diet or get your chest cut open. Like, serious.
Well, did I tell you his daddy did keel over?
Oh, geez.
His daddy keeled over and died in his, I think, 60s. And the mama is not a picture of health. And there's lupus and cancer. And
so, you know, what might be a good test for him is Cyrex 5. Because it gives you all the antibodies, the hidden antibodies. And I remember Tom O'Brien telling the story about this guy he worked with and his dad and his brother. They both keeled over young and of heart attacks. And he was like, I don't want to do this. What do I do? Can you do like a full battery of tests, everything you got, and let's see what's going on. He does the five, the Cyrex 5, and he finds the guy's got three different antibodies to cardiac tissue. And so he took the guy off gluten, did a leaky gut repair, cleaned up the gut and all that, cleaned up the diet, and 6 months later, the antibodies are gone.
Wow.
Saves the guy from, you know, that's what killed his family members, so. Those are good things.
So these are the predictive antibodies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's expensive. It's $500, but you know, it's his life.
And we can order that through you?
Yeah. Yeah. We have it on the site.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
It requires a blood draw. They have to, but they'll tell you how to get it done. If he's in near a major city, they'll just, you know, you just take it to one of the labs and they do it. You just take the kit.
Well, I'll have him ask, I'll have him request that of Mayo Clinic.
Okay.
Let's see where that goes.
Right. Maria has her hand up, and then Lynn mentioned, I don't know what you put, Source Naturals GABA. That's not something that I don't know anything about it.
That's the GABA column that you said you were at. Yeah.
Really? Are you sure? I didn't think it was Source Naturals.
Well, that's why I was surprised, but I looked, and that was the only Source Naturals I could find.
Well, I didn't think it was.
Or GABA column. So if somebody else.
Oh. Wow, that was recommended by Trudy Scott.
Yeah, that's why I was really surprised.
Yeah. Well, I'd look at it. It's glycine and acetyltyrosine. Yeah, I'd look up it from some others. Because I don't, that doesn't sound good. Anyway.
That's why I was surprised.
Bummer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bummer. Mannitol. Eek, that could get somebody's gut going big time.
Yeah, that's why I was like, what is this?
Oy. Yeah, irritable bowel. Okay, Maria. Can you open?
Hey there.
There you are.
Yes,
hi.
I am. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I will take your mind out of the intense thing and gets to a different level. Okay, the very easy things.
Oh, good.
Just following up our conversation yesterday. I want to take advantage of this call to start running some stuff by you.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so this freebie stuff.
Yeah.
I came up with some ideas. I want to see what you think.
Cool. And we'll hear what the group has to say. Okay, cool.
Okay, so I was thinking to create a 5-minute workout routine. Maybe I have 3 different ones that will go beginners, intermediate, and advanced level, so people can choose. That's one. Number 2 is I already have it. Maybe I'll just make it look a little prettier, but it's an anti-inflammatory kind of shopping list thing. So that is already done. That people get when they sign up.
Okay.
But to me, it's kind of less exciting. But for a lot of people,
yeah. Because think about it this way: you're getting on Facebook and you're going, "Here we are. We're doing our workout and we're getting our fannies moving." And then you go, "Here's some anti-inflammatory foods." There's a disconnect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, but there's different things we're going to be doing about this you know business thing. But anyway,
right. But there is an issue that can be. You'd have to whatever you come up with your freebie. Then you want to be thinking in terms of whatever you're doing on Facebook. And oh, by the way, maybe you're not exercising because your joints hurt too much.
Download my
anti-inflammatory. So you want to always make your connection so what you offer them makes sense. So
yes.
Good one. And you can, you know, certainly have multiples. Okay, go for it.
Okay. The other one is maybe a little video or a checklist. Hold on. Let me put my power here because I think the thing's going to die. Hold on. The thing, I mean the computer.
That would be helpful if it doesn't die.
Well, it's user malfunction. Okay, third thing is maybe it's a checklist, but it's on the pre and post workout. So regarding what to do, when to do, what to eat, times, and things like that.
I like it because then it ties your exercise with your food piece and then they see you as the more holistic. Good?
Yes.
I like that.
So that would, involve foods and drink before and after. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can create 2, pre and post, you know? So
I would do it together. Yeah, because it's going to be exciting and enticing to people. Hey, if you see any movement, and by the way, most people have no clue what to eat before and after the exercise. They eat, and then it makes them exercise less efficiently. And if they, and then afterwards, they screw up their beautiful exercise by going and having Gatorade. And I want you to know what to, I could see you really just incorporating that.
Well, you're more excited than I am. Okay, so that's number 3. Number 4 is exercise to balance your blood sugar and restore insulin resistance. So that is focused on strength training.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be maybe another 5-minute kind of thing, but it's really focusing then on my blood sugar work, So that's another one. And the other one is, and that relates to food now, which replacement of foods kind of cheat sheet. So again, goes back to somewhat about that anti-inflammatory checklist, right? So, and could go actually aligns with the pre and post workout kind of stuff, And then, this is a 6th one just came to me as I was talking to my friend about it. And she's like, how about safety and exercise? And I was like, well, posture and safety, depending on a couple of things. So I have to think about that.
Then you can go with people and they go, maybe you don't exercise as much as you think you should, because when you do, you hurt yourself. Well, there's things that you need to do to protect yourself. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So focus on stretch, stretching, static and dynamic, and things to heat, think about heat and cool weather kind of stuff, and hydration. And then talk about more related to muscles, depending on what they're doing, what kind of exercise they're going to do. But certain things are basic. So
So the things I like the best, I like the one with the pre and post workout checklist. And I like checklist just because it's an easy yes for people, because they don't sit and watch it, they get it immediately. So people like instant gratification from Facebook.
Right. So
the best thing to do is, you know, you start with one, and then a little bit later you make another and another, and then you just compare how do people react. And it may be that depending on what your video is or your lead gen or whatever it is, you send them to a different one.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yes.
Yeah. But start with one and just let you do it. Get it out there. Start collecting names. See how it does. And then while
you like the pre and post best.
Well, the pre and post, and and then the other two that I got excited about. One was the safety.
The safety and posture.
The other one was the blood sugar is really good, because then that also is leading into you being more of that, you know, leading into a blood sugar balancing program.
Well, yeah, and actually I can mention something about PCOS, because it's the same darn thing, you know, and I'll be talking, you know, about PCOS. Mm-hmm. I'll be in that thing again, the event. Mm-hmm. So maybe this could be a good segue. It's something that I could create earlier, and as I put something about PCOS out there before the event.
That would be good before you do that live event, to have that so that you can send them. Oh, and I have this really cool thing that talks about, you know, it's specific exercises that you can do that'll help with PCOS.
Yes. And ultimately helps with blood sugar, insulin resistance, and prevention of cardiovascular and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But so if all things tied up.
PCOS group, right? You're going to make the connection, or somebody's going to make the connection, hopefully at this event, that between insulin resistance and PCOS. So you can say, yeah, I have this thing.
Yes.
PCOS, because it helps you get your blood sugar balance and get your insulin. And that'll trigger some of the things that they're learning about.
Yes.
When you do it.
The one thing that I thought, but it probably will take me more time. I don't know if I can get it done. Well, I know I can get it done. It's just the timing. Is that I thought for the PCOS event is like having kind of a recipe, kind of an ebook that is kind of for insulin resistance, so low blood sugar, low glycemic kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe 10 kind of thing. It's just a lot of work, but I am getting an intern, by the way, from high school.
Oh.
I know. Yes, I got the perfect. I got the perfect intern, I think. Well, I will get it. I had two interviews. Interviewed two of them, one yesterday, one today. And today, she's perfect. She's like a, I think, 16-year-old. She loves health and wellness. She is very active. She was like, oh my God, I was so excited to read. I gave her a list of things that I want them to work, you know, and then during the interview, I said, tell me what you, because a lot of research, you know, a lot of research and help me organize certain things. And she's like, I'm reading this stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I want to know more.
Oh, nice.
So, I know. So she is great, and she's very well spoken. You can tell very positive energy. I can get her to do some other research and businesses. And
is
like
you going to have to pay for this? Is it an unpaid internship? Yeah.
Zero. They get credits.
They get credit. That's great. That's great.
I'm going to try to get the odds so she can work 8 to potentially 10 hours a week. The other girl, she can work 4 hours a week.
Nice.
I'm going to try to get them both. I don't know if they, I'm just going to say, hey, I don't know until I ask. So
you ask. Yeah, you go.
And the other one is very shy. You can really see that, very methodical, just by the sense, you know, like, okay, she wants to get everything right. And I can put them kind of, you know, okay, you do only this, you do the rest over here.
Yeah. Super. Yay. Good thing.
Yeah.
So on that, you know, going back, you probably end up with all of these, but you want to start with one and then add another and then another. The other one where I would look at the one where you said some little 5 minutes of exercise.
Yeah.
You want to come from the perspective of fun, making your exercise fun, some fun, easy routines that they're over in 5 minutes.
Yes. Okay? Yeah. Very good. So very good.
Good. That was a lot easier than all this stuff.
I thought that I would wait until the last, so you would go to bed.
I could go to bed on a high. Yeah.
On a high of not so many, you know, numbers and all that.
Not so many numbers in front of me. All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Is there anything I missed in this chat? Lynn or anybody see something in there?
Nope.
Good. Thank you.
You know, one thing I would like to say one thing.
Yeah.
Because we've been learning so much here in this call and sharing different ideas.
But just remember, if we're feeling overwhelmed, chances are then our client might feel overwhelmed. Just choose two or three things they can do, really basic things that they can incorporate. So even if it's something at like with the gluten-free, you know, here are ways you can be gluten-free. Here are some recipes. Let's work on that piece. Mm-hmm. You know, just whatever, because otherwise they're going to do nothing at all.
Except this, you know, that's mostly the thing, right? And this guy has to be gluten-free from the sounds of it. But the real thing is looking at when you have all this test, you got to pick that one thing that shows up as the high priority. And I would say work on that H. pylori.
Well, but just in general, so this is what I recommend to people do before you have a client, especially if you felt some stress or overwhelm, do your heart math, get yourself centered and balanced so that when you're with them, they can see that you're in control. Totally. So it's really, really important as we do.
I would like to add something to it. I think that you're absolutely correct. But I have this client that she signed up for a 4-week, a month thing, and she finished today. And I put her a task to do a vision board and present to in the last session, which was today. Last week, she was like overwhelmed about this vision board, meaning that it is very afraid, uncertainty and this and that. I don't know. You know, these people get very detailed. She's a teacher, I don't know what's going to happen in my life. And I said, I just want you to let it loose. Mm-hmm. Anyway, cutting the story short, she shows up with this vision board today and is smiling. And she walked me through this vision board. And I said, so how did it feel? And she says, it felt good. I really didn't want to do this thing, but it really made me think about the future. And she still didn't go far, far out there, but she built into a point that she was not resistant, And I think it's an important for us to kind of, I think there are results that we can get with our clients if we push them to that direction of thinking ahead. Because she put all those healthy things in. While she's explaining this to me, I caught two big things on her. She called eating right being weirdo for her kids. Oh. Yeah. She's like, she put like a spaghetti thing, right? As healthy. And she's like, I know this is probably not healthy to you, but yada yada. I don't want to grow up my kids as a weirdo because people eat it and yada, 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 yada. Mm. They are already weirdos because I chose to have them as a single mom. Mm. She chose. Yeah. So right there, right? I let her finish and all those things. And I went back to her and said, look, I want to make you attention to bring to your attention how much negative energy you are bringing this to the world. You might not say that to your kids, but the energy is there. So, and I said, there is nothing weird about growing, healthy kids and nothing weird about that. What you got to do is explain what you're doing, let them choose, and they're going to make the right decision. But if you let them go and eat the things that you are not yourself eating, how much of a great mom are you? Right. Mm-hmm. And that you want to be. And she says you want. So anyway, I think there is a lot of things and this kind of things, it can come up. She didn't even notice what she was doing or saying. And hopefully that brought her to a closer reality with the energy that we bring to ourselves and to others.
Love that. And what it comes to me is that you took a very right-brained approach to this, right? You took this approach of getting her in touch and then really sat with her with the feelings. And I think this man that we've been talking about, as much as, yes, it's serious, it's like really thinking in terms of some of the right brain stuff that you can, what can you do to sit with him and impart how important this is and how serious this is and really get him in touch with what he wants most and how his health is impacting that. Mm-hmm. And then really helping him to say, look, I know some of the stuff I'm going to ask you to do is not going to be the easiest.
Right.
And you know, and I don't know, the guy might not be open to doing a vision board, just saying, but.
Well, you know, I can share a vision board that is very easy, made from folds. This woman got a cardboard, and I said, you're evolved. I mean, your vision board is not like 30 years from now, but you can actually go on the other side. But let me see if I can find real quick. This is an awesome.
And I said that just because it sounds like he's more of a.
Yeah, but you know, I mean.
Never know, I guess.
Cynthia, do you have a vision board?
You know, I do, and I don't necessarily find them effective for me, Maria, but one thing that I have helped him with is visualizing himself on top of those 14,000 foot mountains that he climbed.
Uh-huh.
And we are doing mini vision boarding, like put a favorite photo of you when you felt awesome on your phone.
Right.
Great.
Put it on your desktop or what, you know, put it there to That's remind great. You. I think a big issue here, and I'm getting all these lovely private notes, and I appreciate you women more than I can say. One thing that's so interesting is that he works remotely, so the social isolationism that we hear about, and he has been compromised bladder-wise since college, and he's in his mid-50s. He cannot date, and he so wants to date. And, you know, we have coaching sessions, and they'll go over an hour, and he'll have to go to the bathroom. So, you know, the functional medicine doctor was hoping that clearing up some of all those supplements you put him on would help with the bladder. You know, but he wasn't 100% doing the basics, you know, dairy and gluten. He wasn't.
Those are bladder irritants.
100% compliant, right. Yeah. So.
And when you say he wasn't 100%, would he go like weeks at a time and then have a thing? Or would he be just like a couple times a week he's going off?
I think every few weeks on the gluten. I learned a huge lesson, and I'll share this too. I was asking about dairy. And to me, dairy is all inclusive. Cheese and everything else from the milk of an animal. And he was eating cheese. And he was making a distinction between dairy as milk.
And dairy as cheese, yeah.
So I have refined my vocabulary around that, which, you know, it's been a really great lesson.
Yeah.
I found another client that was saying, oh, no, I don't do dairy, but she was doing cheese as well. So just...
Now, people don't... yes, I mean, it is quite impressive that they just think associate maybe something with, oh, gluten. I don't eat bread. You know, that they don't think beyond. It happens a lot. I put the vision board in there. What you're doing, you know, the link, it's a very portable vision board. That's the one I like, really, because it's inexpensive and you can take everywhere you want. Especially for women or family. Yeah. You can take on trips. I don't care where you go. You fold that thing and it's brilliant. And you can keep extending it. But what are you doing with him? You are building that vision board. So maybe just a suggestion, you know, look into this style over here that is simple, guys. Like things that are simple. Mm-hmm. And start, you know, ask him. And I said, next time you come up, can you bring a few photos or magazine or whatever of things that really you like, and just glue in the damn thing for him, you know, and start visualizing. When he comes back to you, you put that thing in front of him and you keep reinforcing. I said, hold on, here are the things that he loved. Here are the things that he wanted to do, you know, so he might not do on his own, but if you ask him to bring a couple things every time, you're like building for him and together and reflecting.
Right.
So it's just an opportunity, I think.
Yeah. Thank you, Maria. I love that. Yes.
I love that picture. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because that's something you can, like, I always, like, want to do something like that, a vision board at an event, right? And have people
actually
or at a retreat, but then it's this big old monster.
Now, this is fantastic.
It's phenomenal. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's just those little folders right here, you know? And you just connect those ends. That's all there is. You just connect the ends. So, yeah, simple.
Oh, wow. I've done
that. I do vision boards with my group. And I was talking with one of them today. And they're actually just so in love with the whole process that they're making like 2 and 3 of them at a time.
Wow.
So they just, you know, they have different purposes. And so, yeah. And one of them is a guy. So it's that fun piece. You know, we don't always get with our inner child and have fun because life is so much work. Yeah.
There is fear of the future because some people cannot imagine, you know, it's like, what is that best? Because they might be in a funk for so long or unhealthy for so long.
Right.
It's really difficult for them to push, you know, beyond tomorrow or next month or something.
Right.
And then
it's fear too related to it. There's fear of imagining because like the fear of what if I don't get there? What if I make all this stuff and I get home?
Yes.
I get all excited about it and then
Well, and then the other piece to that is to expand, you know. So when you do exercise or yoga or something and they tell you to bend over and touch something, maybe you can't, maybe you're real stiff, but you do a little bit. So you're expanding your space to do that. Think of it the same way with your energy space. They may not be able to envision this future, but they can envision the week.
Yeah.
You know, how are you? And so maybe create a little mini vision board like that for the week. So it's just gently expanding your space.
Yeah, just like this client today, she was able to go 8 years ahead.
Wow.
You know, and she had a specific thing. In 8 years, I want to achieve this. And then, you know, the other things, obviously, there are things about the future, but she couldn't picture doing more things, you know, beyond that. But she felt good about X, W, and Z. And
pretty
she,
expansive, I think.
Huh?
8 years is pretty expansive.
Yeah, she's got something. She's got a specific goal.
That's
you know, and she wants to do that. And she's like, oh, how am I going to achieve that? But then I'm achieved with this. And I'm thinking about health as an investment that is going to save me, you know, money in the future, you know, money in the future. Yeah. Well, she's a teacher. She's going back to school and doesn't have a ton of money. So she wants to come back at some point. She needs to work with therapy. That's for sure. A lot of issues there with the sister. I think I mentioned to you in a call, but we got to a much better place. She came in crying and she left with a big smile today. She's feeling better, more energy, you know, it's just getting peace. So
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you assume she didn't have money and not make the offer of
her? No, I did. I did offer.
Good.
I did. I did. And she's the one I would like to take a break. And is that okay if we reconnect? And I said, yes, sure thing. And I said, the issue that I see sometimes is like, you are in a good path. And now that life is going to get a lot harder with a, you know, crammed kind of schedule. And we are not at a point that you build, you know, good consistency, you can fall apart, you know, and go back to the old habits. That's where I see, you know, things happening. So I'll be here if you want to reconnect. And that's it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So
can I throw something into that,
Nick? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what if you were to say, this is what I see and this is the struggles. And if you're having struggles, reach out to me. And if not, let's just make a point to reconnect in about 6 weeks and see where you're at and see what you need.
Okay.
And then you just send her a message, an email, a text. Say, just check. Yeah. How's it going?
Yes.
Right?
And I normally do that, but I think that what you're saying is make it before they leave, make it clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's just see how you do for 3 or 4 weeks on your own. And then I'll check with you at the end of that and see how you're doing. Because I don't want you to go backwards. That's my
goal. Yes. Yes.
I'm just going backwards.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
Go. Yeah. And the other thing I just thought about as you were talking about it was these little mini vision boards. You know, we ask people for their values, their visions and all this. What if we made it like, here's this folder. I want you to just make a vision for what you want to be like at the end of this 3 months that we've signed up to work together, or this end of this year, or this end of the 6 weeks, or
yeah,
whatever, and have them create some.
So, you know, it's funny because I thought about actually, because they complete the vision and, you know, and goals thing that you provide. So I made small edits, but it's basically the same. And that's when I introduced the vision board. And I said, you using that 5-year kind of vision. And I said, I want you to think beyond 5 years. Really, if you can imagine. But I think that if I'm meeting them live, then I can give them a couple folders to get started. But in that first session, I give them the links for, you know, this, I give them that same link.
And everything. Yeah. That's,
you know, yeah.
That's great. So,
okay. Super.
All right. Well, it's time to call it a night. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for your sharing your cases and your questions. And Martha, you want to say hi? I haven't heard your voice in a long time. You were the first one on. Let me see if I can unmute her. All right, you're unmuted, Martha. Hi, Artie.
She went to bed.
She went to sleep. She fell asleep in her chair. Good night, Martha. Sleep tight.
Sweet dream.
Oh, she said she wasn't on her phone. It says, I wasn't on my phone, not in the right computer. I'm here, though. I'm East Coast.
Okay.
Definitely sleep time.
Great one.
Bye.
Bye.